And we want you to take your Bible and look in Luke chapter 10. Now, don't look too hard, because in a minute we're going to study it, and it'll be our message tonight. And these kids have been working on this for a little while now, and want you to pay attention. And it's a new passage about soul winning. And y'all ready? Y'all think y'all got it? Do we have the mic, one mic up and one mic down? I think it's all going to be all right. Day-Day, are you ready? Day-Day might be the key on this one.
I'm not Day-Day, I'm David.
It's not Day-Day, is what Mama calls him. He's David. All right, ready? Go ahead, Luke chapter 10.
Luke chapter 10, 25-37. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying,
Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?
And he said unto him,
What is written in the law? How readest thou?
And he answering said,
Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart,
and with all thy soul,
and with all thy strength,
and with all thy mind,
and thy neighbor as thyself.
And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus,
And who is my neighbor?
And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment,
and wounded him, and departed,
leaving him half dead.
And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side.
Likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him,
and went into him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine,
and set him on his own beast, and brought to him in, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed,
he took out two pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him,
Take care of him, and whatsoever thy friend is for, when I come again, I will repay thee.
Which now of these three was neighbor, did thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves?
He that showed mercy on him.
Then said Jesus unto him,
Go, and do thou likewise.
Luke chapter 10. And look at verse number 25, where they started. And it says here, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And here's the question. And notice Jesus' answer. He says, What's written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Luke 10:28, he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Shouldn't ask that question, because look what the story Jesus gives, and it's the story of the Good Samaritan. Y'all know who the Good Samaritan is in the Bible, don't you? Y'all know who the Good Samaritan is, right? Have y'all met the Good Samaritan? One little boy in Sunday school class, the teacher goes, What would you do if you saw somebody on the side of the road, and he'd been beat up, and he was all bloody and bruised and stripped most of his clothes and was laying there in the dirt in the side of the road, laying there half dead. What would you do? And little Johnny raised his hand. He said, I'd throw up. I don't know if that's what you do. Little Johnny was being honest, amen. You think, well, would I get my hands dirty? Some people don't want to. And the story here tells about the Good Samaritan. He's the hero. And when you read the story, The hero is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're going to see in this story how that you are the guy that was on the side of the road. You are the one that was in the ditch alone about to die. And he came along when others didn't care. No man cared for my soul, but Jesus cared. And Jesus went on, got on your side, got down where you're at. Thank God, 2,000 years ago, he came where, says he came where he was. I'm so glad that 2,000 years ago, Jesus left the portals of heaven where he was being worshiped, those streets of gold, where he was being adored. And he said, no, I'm leaving, and I'm going to go where they're at. And I'm going to get them out of the dirt. And I'm going to get them, and they're about to die. And he cared about me. And he cared about you. Jesus is the one in this story. But then he says at the end, go and do thou likewise. What he did for you is what he wants you as the church, as the saved. You know, there's the saints, and then there's the ain'ts. Huh? Amen? And if you're one of the saints, your job is to go after the ain'ts. Amen? You're not, okay, oh, I'm saved, I'm safe, I'm on the right road. I'm in the inn tonight. Isn't it good to be in the inn? Isn't it good to be where the caretaker is watching out over us? Isn't it good to be in God's house? Carl Hatch used to say, it's good to be in God's house when he's at home. Amen? Hey, listen, I'm glad I'm in the inn. I'm glad I'm safe now. I'm glad I'm not. I remember what it was like being on the other side of the street. I don't want to ever forget what it was like during those days when I was lost and in the ditch and about to die and go to hell. I don't want to forget that. I want that fresh on my mind. We don't ever need to forget the pit we were dug out of. Amen? How close to hell we were. That'll put a little spring in our step to help others. And he says, hey, I'm not the only one. I need you to go and do likewise. What a great command. What a great encouragement. I mean, this is the life that he wants you to live. Every week ought to be like a Bible school where you're rescuing sinners, little ones, big ones, all different ages in between. Some of them smell good, some of them don't. Amen? Hey, listen to me. What a blessing. We saw this morning, I think, what I just heard you say was there were three generations. This is what we want. A little girl. Was it a girl that got saved in Bible school? And she brings her mother to church today. And her mother, was it yesterday she got saved? Yesterday got saved on soul winning. The pastor led her to Christ. The little girl gets saved. I don't know how little she was, maybe 11, 12, something like that. Okay? She gets saved in Bible school. That's your work. Then the pastor goes by and follows up and gets mama saved. Mama comes. And then I think grandpa came. I think it was three generations. What a thing. I mean, you talk about changing a family, one from each generation. And I got to deal with the guy over here. Adrian's up here leading the song and the invitation. And he said, Freddie, get that guy. It's a blessing. I said, hallelujah, I get to get him. And I'm over here. I said, come over here, sir. And this older man, he prayed and asked Christ to save me. He was so happy about it. He was such rejoicing about it. He said, it feels good. He comes over here. My wife gets his name. All the other lady name takers were busy. Huh? It was good problem to have. I said, could you get this name right? Nobody can read my writing. And she gets his name down. And Pete got saved. And I said, now, Pete, you're saved. Feels good, doesn't it? He said, yes, it feels good. And he said, now you need to get baptized. No argument. How do I do it? Yeah, I want to. He said, but get my daughter. He said, my daughter needs to do it too. I said, I will. And so we go over here. I'm looking for the baptistry. No, wrong side. Get him back over here. We took him over here to the guy's side. Don't want to go to the girl's side. Huh? And he gets ready for baptism. And then his daughter's over here. And she, I said, ma'am, your dad is, was that her dad? I think it, we got to be careful. I don't know. It was a, cool. Pete and his daughter. And then the granddaughter is sitting out next. And the mother says, I need to do that too. And she goes over and gets ready. And a few minutes later, she gets baptized in the same service. You know what that is? That's you as a Bible school worker, all your snow cones, all your popcorn, Brother Ed, all your crazy games, Brother Soledad, hey, Brother Brandon, unbelievable, all your name taking coming in, all your work on the bus, all that work that you did, many make work, hands make light work, all that time helping each other, all the songs, all the verses, all the time, all the love on these kids, all the helping them out, all the, we need some people to ride herd a little bit. We need some people to kind of keep them between the ditches, amen. Hey, all that work, one gets saved, and then another one gets saved. And it's a domino effect. You know what that is? That's what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to do it all the time. Now, notice what he said here. He said, this certain man, who's my neighbor? Who's my neighbor? Some of these people are our neighbors, amen? He said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves. You know who that is? Oh, man, I feel some preaching rolling around. I feel it coming around good right now. Oh, Lord, help me now. I need this. Hey, okay, it's hard to contain myself. He went from Jerusalem to Jericho. He was on a road somewhere that he didn't really want to be going. Jerusalem in the Bible is probably the greatest city on earth, at least compared to the others. It's a picture when God gives heaven, the story of heaven, he calls heaven New Jerusalem. This guy should have been on his way to heaven, but no, he's not going there anymore. I don't want to go be there anymore. I don't want to go there. He's on his way to Jericho. Did you know Jericho is the one city in the Bible, maybe more than any other city, that you didn't want to go? This is a place you don't want to go there. Did you know in the book of Joshua, as you read this, it's back before that. But Jericho is called the cursed city. Are you listening to me? It's the cursed city. Oh, Achan learned that the hard way. And all his little Achans, they got stoned, and every one of them were Achan. Amen? Hey, don't mess with that cursed city. Don't go around that cursed city. Don't you take things from that cursed city. It's cursed. The walls fell down flat. And to this day, there is no Jericho. Nobody lives in Jericho. It's a cursed place. When God curses something, it'll never be blessed. Hey, did you know I wasn't on my way to heaven? I was on my way to hell. I was on a road. I wasn't going up. I was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. I was going to a place where it says, when you get there, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. I was on that road. And that's where the trouble started. He was on his way down. It's a picture of a lost man. It's the condition of the lost, maybe better than any picture in the Bible. Jesus says so much so quick. And he said, and he says, he fell among thieves, and they stripped him and wounded him and left him half dead. Did you know before I got saved, before you got saved, this is where you were. This is where you were, spiritually speaking. You were on the road to a cursed place, and you weren't even making it there good. And the devil, when he gets done with you, the Bible says what? John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to kill and to steal and to destroy. And you know what? The devil wants to steal. He's the thief. These group of bandits, these hoodlums, they robbed this guy. They beat him up. They took his money and they left him. Once they got what they want, that's the way the devil is. Once he's done with you, once he takes everything you have away, he doesn't care about you. He leaves you laying there dead or half dead. He said he stripped. The Bible said all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We don't look good. We don't have nothing on much at all that we're ready to meet God with at the great white throne judgment. Oh no, we're in the filthy rags of our unrighteousness. And we're laying there and we're beat up and we're wounded. You know where people are today? They're wounded. They're hurting. And they're looking for somebody to care. They're reaching out and they're asking, would you please come by my way? I need help. I'm going to die like this. They may not say it to you in those words, but that's their condition. And it says that he was half dead. Half dead. Brother Spears, Brother Ed, we know what that means, don't we? If we got a King James Bible, we study our Bible, we know what half dead means. What does it mean over there in the book of Timothy where it says, she that lives in pleasure is dead while she liveth? How about Katy Perry? She's lost. How about Madonna? She's lost. How about the women of this world that many people look up to? You shouldn't look up. You ought to pity them. Hey, listen to me. Half dead. Half dead. Some of them look half dead. You know what's interesting? In Genesis chapter 3, it looks like a contradiction. Looks like God lied. But God never lies. You know what he says? He said, you can eat at any tree in the garden. Eat at this one. Eat at this one. Eat at this one. He said, there's one tree over there. Don't you eat of that tree. Stay away from that tree. In the day you eat of that tree, you'll surely die. Let's see if we meet anybody in the Bible that's half dead. You know anybody in Scripture that's half dead? He says, don't eat of that tree, Adam. Don't eat of that tree, Eve. You know what they did? Same thing I'd have done if I'd have been there. They went right over and ate of that fruit, and they wound up dying. Or did they? You know what he said to Adam and Eve? He said, in the day you eat of the tree, you'll surely die. Looks like a contradiction, because did they die that day? It says Adam in Genesis 5. It looks like the contradiction in the King James Bible. But we know when we find a contradiction, the contradiction ain't in the Bible. The contradiction's in our head. And the Bible says, study to show yourself and rightly divide the word of truth. Huh? Hey, we know the problem's not the Bible. The problem's us. He's trying to teach you something when you see this supposed contradiction. In Genesis 5, it says Adam lived 930 years and he died. I thought God said, in the day you eat of the tree, you'll surely die. Did God lie? I don't believe he did. You know what I think happened? The day Adam took that fruit and turned around and gave it to Eve, the day she took that fruit, I absolutely believe they both died that day. Because God said, in the day you eat of the tree, you'll surely die. Sin will kill you the second you partake of it. You just don't look like you're dead. You still got a pulse. You still breathing. You're still eating. You're still stuffing your face. But something goes wrong inside, and there's a part of you that dies. See, you got to understand, there's three parts to human beings. There's three parts to man. Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. That's his body. Breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. That's the spirit. And man became a living soul. God has three parts. Let us make man in our own image. That don't even sound like good English. But it's doctrinal truth. Man has three parts just like God has three parts. Listen to me. We're created in the image of God. Why does he say, let us make man in our image? Is he talking to himself? In our own image? There's one God. He's got three. He manifests himself in three different ways. Three in one, one in three, and the one in the middle died for me. Amen? Can you get that? Three kids, three in one, one in three. The one in the middle died for me. That's good. That's good preaching, Brother Freddie. I like that. Hey, listen, man's got three parts. He's got a body. He's got a soul. Adam's body didn't die that day because it says in Genesis 5, he lived 930 years and he died. His soul didn't die that day. Your soul can't die. Your soul's going to live somewhere forever and ever and ever. There's a part inside of you that's shaped just like your body that's the real you. Your body's like a shell that you live in. Are you listening? And your soul's the most important part. Okay, what happened was his body didn't die. It began to die. His soul didn't die. Your soul lives somewhere forever. he can face the second death. What part died? By process of elimination, you know what part died. Something had to die. Or God lied. I don't believe he lied. Y'all don't believe he lied, do you? I believe the Bible. In the day you eat of the tree, you'll surely die. You know what died? His spirit. Spiritually, he's dead. He's walking around, and he's out of fellowship with God, and spiritually, there is no spirit in there anymore. He's dead spiritually. That day. And that's why when Jesus comes along in John chapter 3 in the New Testament, Jesus says you must be born again. What does that mean? He tells you, what do you mean be born again? Go back a second time into my mother's womb and be born? Oh, Nicodemus asked a pretty good question. Nah, Nick, you got it all wrong. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's mama. That's daddy. That's your first birth. It's on your birth certificate date. But he said, that which is born of the spirit, capital S, is spirit, small s. Your spirit is dead, Nicodemus. And you don't need more religion. You need a birth. You need life. You're dead. You're a walking dead man. You need to be born again. How do I do that? And before he gets done, he said just that many words, and it's John 3:16's flying out of his mouth. First time anybody in history ever says that, quotes that verse. It came out of Jesus' lips to a man he witnessed to late at night when everybody else was sleeping. Jesus was out witnessing. Amen? Are you listening to me? And he said, you must be born again. That which is born of the Spirit, capital S, is your spirit. So when a person gets saved, it's a miraculous work. What sin did back in the garden and back the first time you sinned, what sin did in your past to put you in the ditch, to take you down and make you half dead, the Holy Spirit does the reverse of it. And he gives you life. That's why the rest of John 3:16 says, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The answer to death is life. And the way you get life is by birth. Amen? We got to get people saved, folks. We got to get people saved. Doctors have recently proved that if you do not have... listen to this. Please, this is going to go right over your head. You're going to miss it because I'm a very deep preacher. If your parents do not have children, chances are you're not going to have any kids either. I'm talking about we got to give life. That's why we're here. That's why God's left us here. Some of y'all get that in a little while. On Tuesday, you'll go, that's right. Amen, Brother Freddie. I better amen myself right now. Hey, listen to me. Think now. He's half dead. That's you. That's where you were. That's me. I'm on the side of the road. I'm physically alive, but I'm spiritually dead. I need help. Y'all are like, boy, you do. Look at yourself, Brother Freddie. Your eyebrows don't matter. You need some help. Don't say amen. I need help during my message. But I need help, and you did too. Somebody came along, pulled you out of the ditch. There's the beater-uppers in the story, and then there's the passer-uppers. Can you see this? The kids acted it up. I thought they did pretty good, even though they are my own kids. I thought Mama got them there just right. I'll get in front of the parade and say, which way are we going? And take credit for that. The kids, he's laying down there, and his legs are kicking. He's just barely breathing. He's laying there dead. My son. And somebody passes him up. The priest. It says in the Bible, the priest. Yeah. What am I supposed to do? Dad, can I do that? You go ahead. I ain't doing it. Andrew says, well, I thought priests do this, and they wear their collar on backwards. Huh? I'll be careful. I got to be careful. I love you. Hey, listen, the priest comes by, and he sees him laying there. He sees him. Oh, yeah, he sees him. He knows there's people in trouble. He sees him by the wayside. He sees him in the ditch, and no, he's not going to throw up. He's too dignified. He's too religious. He's had all the training and all the seminaries, and what he does is he accidentally, on purpose, heads to the other side of the road and keeps walking. Are you listening to me? I'm not trying to pick on Catholics. If you know me, I preach more against Baptists than I ever do against Catholics. Huh? But if you come to a church like this, you're probably asking for it. You're going to get hit on something. Hey, listen to me. He's not on his side. He's not on that guy's side. This guy needs somebody to get over here on his side. And the priest, he's a passer-upper. He's over here. I don't want to get my hands dirty. I don't want to get involved. Folks, we did some work. Enrique, thank you. You guys are phenomenal. We bring in these jumpers. My kids call them infatibles. I'm praying for my dad to get an infatible ministry. Maybe I did. And a year later, I'll catch on and get my inflatables. Amen? And the jumpers, oh, it's one thing to get them, but you got to have somebody to stake down. You got to have somebody to roll them puppies out. All kinds of people. Thank you. Because if not, I'd have been out there doing it myself. Have you seen my little crew? We're weak and sickly. We need help. Thank you. Hey, some people don't want to get their hands dirty. And other people, they're saying, no, put me in. What do you want me to do? I'm in. We need to get on their side. Some people are trying to work their way over here and not be seen. He's not on his side. There's your religious guy, and then your Levite. He knew the law. Here's your Jew, you know, whatever. Religious people is what he says. I mean, he's naming two religious groups. You can name thousands of them today. One little kid, he's coming home from church, and he said, did you like my church? He said, I don't know if I liked your church. I belong to a different abomination. Amen? Maybe there's all kinds of them out there. And so here's your Levite, and he passes by the other way, and he holds his nose. He don't want to get his hands dirty. He don't want to get involved. Hey, I'm too busy. I got to make a meeting. I got to be it. Be careful. We always got to have time for one. We always got to be willing to slow down. There's the beater-uppers. You say, well, I'm not a beater-upper. I'm not in the beater-upper crowd. That's your rock music crowd. That's your country music crowd probably today. That's your politicians. That's your, hey, listen to me. You could name off all your pornography crowd. They're beater-uppers. Are you listening to me? And I could name off 50 other things, sins of America. Are you listening? That's what tears people up. I don't want to have anything to do with it. I'm not going to give a dime of my money to that crowd because a lot of my friends, when I went to high school with, they went to hell because of that crowd. The drug dealers. That's not me. I ain't going to be no beater-upper. The world's full of beater-uppers, but it's also got passer-uppers. They're religious, and they put on the front, and they wear their nice clothes, and they can quote you all the verses, just as good as my kids maybe. But how much do you live? How much shoe leather you put to it? But hallelujah, there's the picker-uppers. And I'm done. We need some picker-uppers. You know what happens on this deal? This Samaritan is a half-breed. You know what they said about Jesus? He said, the Pharisees said, we be not born of fornication. You know what they called him? If you was to update that, some things in the King James you don't need to update. You know what they called him? They said, well, we heard about what your dad. Yeah, the Mary and all that. She's making fun of her. Jesus had to sit there and take it, and he did. And they said, we be not born of fornication. You're not really a Jew. Did you know he was just half Jew? I love the Jewish nation. Support your local Jew. Amen? Support the nation of Israel. Amen?
Amen?
Hey, but Jesus, his mother was a Jew. True blue, gives right down the tribe. She's from the tribe of Judah. But Joseph wasn't his dad. God was his father. He's only a half-breed, if you get real technical about it. He's not really a total Jew. The other part is fine. Better than even the Jew, amen? And this half-breed comes in there. They look down their nose at him and say, oh, you're just a half and half. And the Samaritan comes along and saves the day. And the Samaritan goes where he's at. He came where he was. He's going down the middle of the road. He's trying to keep his eyes on Jesus or whatever. He was Jesus. And he's going down the road and he's on his donkey or his three-hump camel or one-hump camel or maybe he had no hump. It was Humphrey. Is his camel name? I don't know. Maybe he had a camel that had a sunroof on it and a T-top. I don't know what he had. Four in the floor, amen. And he's sitting there and he's going down the road and he's busy. And you know what? He sees that man on the side laying in the ditch and he swerves to get to him. And he gets over there, and that man's got some help now. And that man's, help. I'm here to help. He pours in the oil and wine. The oil in the Bible is the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. They need that. Lost people need the Holy Ghost. Amen. The wine, I'm not talking about, I'm not talking about Bud Dummer. And you know, somebody said, Bud, will you be wiser, Bud, if you didn't drink it? Huh? And I'm not talking about that. The wine is a mocker, strong drink is great. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the pure vine of the grape, the blood of the grape. It's the new wine, and the scripture is a picture of the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Christ is what they need. And the Holy Ghost is what they need. We need to be covered under the blood. And we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost when we talk to these people. And he poured in the oil and the wine, and he set him on his beast. You know what that is? That's the bus ministry. You're stretching it, Brother Reed. You're past the point, man. You lost me, man. I ain't believing that. No, that's the big old cheese wagon, they call it. The big old orange thing. That's what you need. These people are on the side of the road, and they need a ride to church. We got to get them to the inn. It ain't enough just to get the blood and the Holy Ghost inside of them. The blood on them and the Holy Ghost in them. We got to get them to the end. I'm talking about picker-uppers, not passer-uppers, surely not beater-uppers. I'm talking about picker-uppers. If you don't have a bus, get a car ministry. Get a Volkswagen ministry. Get a van ministry. Pick them up. Pick them up and get them to the end. You know what's so good? He let him ride on his own beast. He's sitting there walking while this guy's riding. Ah, awesome. And when he gets to the inn, I'm done. When he gets to the inn, he says to the caretaker, he says, hey, take care of him. Brother Dave, would you take care of him? Staff, workers, leaders, followers, God put you here. Would you take care of him? I need you. I got to go. I'll be back later. I'll be back again. Here's you a couple of pence. That don't sound like a whole lot of money. How many of y'all kind of lost money on this deal this week? Brother Reed, I didn't even have enough gas to get here. I wish I got help. Okay, I understand. Hey, listen to me. I got a good love offering. Thank y'all. Y'all didn't get one. You know what he says to the workers? He said, take care of him. And the Good Samaritan said, if you take care of him and you're not getting enough money while you're taking care of him, please continue to take care of him. Take care of this guy that I brought to you. And one day when I come back, I'll repay you. Hallelujah. That's the rapture. Jesus is coming again. You know why we ought to do this? Because Jesus is coming again. It says it right there in the verse. You say, I didn't read that. Read it. It's right there in Luke 10. He's coming again. And he's going to reward you, people that work in the inn, if you take care this guy that we just got out of the ditch. Hey, man, this is good stuff, man. I like it. This is good preaching, Brother Freddie, even if I am doing it. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.